It's all about the story of Jesus. And if you would please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke this morning, and we'll give you a small part of that story, which really should impact us not just during this time of year, but really for the whole year and for the rest of our lives. And it really did made a great impact on those that were there for that first Christmas, and in turn they made an impact on others. And really, that's our model. We've been preaching that same thing for years and years and years, how the Lord impacts us, and in turn we go out and impact others. So let me read to you again part of the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as was told unto them." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word that gives us hope and peace, for the Christmas story that's not just for one time of year, that really should transform our lives, that we may live a life that would honor you and be that light and be that glory that you have desired for us to show to others, that they may see you in us and just glorify you. So Lord, today I pray that you give me unction, that you let me speak clearly and boldly, and let me share the story that impacts all us all. Lord, help us to be found faithful in delivering that to others. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In the name of Jesus I pray, amen. Well, I think I told you about the two boys, two young boys visiting their grandparents, and at bedtime they were on their knees starting to say their prayers, and the younger boy went first, and at the top of his lungs he was shouting with everything that he had, "Lord, please bring me a new bicycle for Christmas, and Lord, please bring me a new BB gun." The older brother touched him on the shoulder and says, "You don't have to shout. God's not deaf." He says, "I know, but Grandma is." Those boys knew that Christmas was about getting gifts in one sense, and I think that's really the idea. It's not a gift from grandma or a gift from friends or family or not a gift from others, but the gift of God. And we find that story told how God gave, that God loved us, that God gave his only begotten son, that greatest gift of all. I'm reminded of Fanny Crosby. It says, "Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard." And so this morning, we're going to look at the story of how God gave us that gift, and hopefully it will transform your life and turn you to a point that you would share that gift with others. Well, let me quickly say the story starts long ago. If you read 1 Peter chapter 2, you find that it was before the foundations of the world that God had this story in mind to share with us. We usually think about Galatians chapter 4 when it says, "In the fullness of time, God gave his only begotten son," that at the right time and the right place that this one would be born. And yes, that is part of the great story, but we must recognize it is greater than that. And so again, let me share just a few things about this story at this time. First, there's the publicity for the Lord, the publicity for the Lord. Again, the first Christmas was made known in an unusual way to an unusual group of people. And so we find ourselves looking back at chapter 2, verse 8, and it says, "In the same country there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch of their flock by night." And then verse 9 says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people." And so we find this unusual scene, the glory of the Lord in these angels shouting the good news. And so let's look first at the messengers of the Lord. Notice verse 10, "And the angel of the Lord said unto them." And you say, angels, do you believe in angels? Well, of course I do. The Bible is filled with these different pictures of angels coming and doing great things. One, we recognize that, yes, they do glorify God. If you read at the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 5, they are giving God great honor and praise. I like verse 12 of 5 of Revelation says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. And so we find the angels magnify God. Secondly, we find they are mighty warriors all through the Old Testament, how the angels come to protect those in need and to punish those of the wicked. 2 Kings chapter 19, 185,000 Syrians in one night were demolished by an angel. But lastly, they are ministering spirits to the saints in Hebrews chapter 1. And so we recognize they are good. They are there to help us. And so they are the messengers that truly give the word of God to us. They are sharing the good news with those first guys. And still to us, we recognize they are giving the things that we need. We find it in the book of Luke chapter 1, they visit Zacharias and tell him of what will be. We find in Luke 1:26 how they visit Mary and share the good news with her. We find in Matthew chapter 1 verse 20, they visit Joseph in a dream and share the good news. And now they are visiting the shepherds in the field with the good news as well. The angelic message would get the attention of those that day to remind them that God is still on his throne, that he is bringing that plan of salvation to all mankind. And you say, oh, I wish we had an angel today to share the word. Well, let me remind you that one day God sends the archangel to declare that Christ will return, and he will get our attention that day. And so the messengers were used by the Lord to get their attention. But secondly, we must focus not just the messengers, but the message of the Lord. Verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Again, the good news reminds us, as these angels proclaim it, that God is faithful. He had given us that promise from Adam in Genesis chapter 3, how one would come and crush the head of Satan. We find the promise again given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, that one through his lineage would help bless the nations. Isaac and Jacob and David and even Isaiah was given the promise, what we read this morning, and unto us a son is given, a child is born. The news is that God is faithful. But secondly, not just that God is faithful, but there's a plan of redemption. This Savior is born. The word Savior is sozo in the Greek there. It means to deliver, to rescue, to preserve. And so we needed that Savior. Max Lucado writes, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need would have been technology, he would have sent a scientist. If it had been money, it had been an economist. If it had been pleasure, he would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was for forgiveness, so he sent us a Savior. And we find through the Bible that only one can save, that is the name Christ Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus himself said this, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Why? He is the Savior. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It is by this one called Christ Jesus, the Savior of the world, that we have redemption. The message was Christ has come. But not just as a Savior, but also as a Supreme. He is called Christ the Lord in verse 11. That word Lord there comes from the Old Testament, Adonai. And we recognize that in the New Testament, it's called Kyrios in the Greek there. But it's one that is reigning supreme. It goes way back to this one that rises up and rules and reigns. But so many times we fail to recognize, we think about the word Savior, but many times more, the Bible declares him Lord than he does Savior. I looked up this past week. He is called Lord 734 times in 673 verses in the New Testament. That is unbelievable. And we must recognize that we must not just link him to our Savior or our being saved, but also as our Lord. Adrian Rogers said this great quote, you cannot receive what Jesus gives, that salvation, and refuse who Jesus is and that he is Lord. That's why I think the further we get away from Christmas, the more people do not like Christ. They don't mind a small baby in a manger, but when we find him ruling and reigning, they want to turn away. Let me remind you that Christ has come not just to save us, but to help us and deliver us, and the only way is we name him Lord of our life. He must be in the driver's seat. How good it is when we recognize that he is Lord of our life. Again, another great preacher, Adrian Rogers, said this. He says this, ask the question, is he your Lord? And the thing we must recognize, is he Lord of our tongue? Is he Lord of our time? Is he Lord of our treasure? Is he Lord of our talents? Is he Lord of our testimony? Is he truly Lord? We must need this idea in our hearts to be found that Christ is our Lord and Savior. And so he is. I like the thought someone would say, well, I've made Jesus Lord, and that's good, but let me remind you, he was Lord long before you made him that. I like what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. And then in Revelation chapter 19, we find that he has on his vesture and his thigh this name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the question is, not will you make him Lord, but will you submit to his authority and recognize that he has this best desire for you? Well, that's the messenger, that's the message. But notice who the message was meant for. Who the message was meant for. Again, we go back to verse 8, and they were in the same country, shepherds. Then verse 10, we find that the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You say, well, what's the big deal? Well, we tend to look at the shepherds and say, oh, a good bunch of guys doing a good day's work. They've got to be great. Well, not so much so in those days. It seems like they had the worst jobs. In one sense, they were unreligious. They spent most of their time in the fields away from any public, and so they didn't make it to church very much. And so you may think, well, their ox is in the ditch, and that's true. And you may use that same excuse and say, well, my ox gets in the ditch. Let me remind you, like the old preacher said, if your ox is in the ditch every Sunday, either cover the ditch or sell the ox. Amen? They were unreligious. They were also considered unclean. They messed with dead animals regularly. And then they were unfit in one sense. They had a bad habit of confusing mine with thine. In other words, they would tend to steal things at times. They were not a good group of people. And yet, that is the people that the Lord first chose to bring the message to. We recognize and say, that's amazing. Why? Well, we find in Luke chapter 5, verse 31, and Jesus answering and said unto them, they that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick. And so we recognize God loves all of us, no matter what we've done, no matter how many times we've done this, no matter how many times we've missed the mark. As God came to the shepherd, so he comes to us today and reminds us there's a Savior for all people. For all people. Again, it says that in verse 10, which shall be to all people. This means that Jesus was born for me and for you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 reaffirms that. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy chapter 3, or 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And this is not a new concept, just in the New Testament. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22 says, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And so we find this idea that God loves us and desires for us to follow him and wants us to recognize him and draw close to him. It is good to recognize the good news, and we must celebrate because of that. But the idea, will we? So the question we leave you with before we move on is, will you trust the message of Christ? Will you come to rely on Christ for your salvation? Will you ring out the good news that Christ has saved you and follow with all your heart? Yes, it is good news that first Christmas day, the message rang out loud and clear. And so we find the publicity by the Lord. But secondly, we must see the place for the Lord. The place for the Lord. there's going to be an announcement that the Savior of the world will be born. And notice, it's not where you would think that it would be. It is not in some great king's palace or some lofty pinnacle, but in a lowly manger. Verse 12 says this, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." That is the sign that the Messiah would be given in a manger. That was the sign they would know that this is the one. That word manger there in the Greek is phatne. It means a feeding trough. Matter of fact, it's used in Luke chapter 13, verse 15, when it says this, "And the Lord answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, does not each of you on a Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall?" That's the word there, "and lead him away." And so we recognize it is a place to feed animals. That's where our Savior was born. Why? Well, notice the first part of this, the problem at the end. The problem at the end. Why did Jesus have to be born in a manger like this? If you back up one verse to chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." No room in the inn. Now, we recognize and understand, why would they have no room? We recognize and say, well, why didn't they just make room for Jesus? Well, they recognize that it's just business in one sense. And they didn't recognize this was the Savior. And they didn't recognize that this would be the one that would change the world. And so they get to a point and say, well, we're full. You'll just have to move on. I wonder if we would today recognize Christ and know that we're all innkeepers in a sense and allow Christ to come into our heart. Will we make room for Christ? Will we open the doors? Will we move some things aside that this one called Christ would come in? So many times a full life excludes who Christ is and what he can do for your life. Make room for baby Jesus. And so there's a problem there, no room for the inn. But secondly, there's a purpose for the manger, which is good. And again, the idea is it shows this humble beginning. I'm reminded it's not because they did some different things, but Christ needed to be born in that small place. He needed to be born in a place that would really relate with everyone. We recognize in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it gives us a small clue. It says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." And so we find that this one that made all things, that had all power, all authority, and all riches became poor for us, that he might relate to us. Christ would go on to say it sometime, "The foxes have holes and the birds of air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." So Christ was born the poorest of the poor so that he could relate to all mankind. And we see all mankind of all sorts come to visit him and seek him. In Matthew chapter 2, the wise men come. In Mark chapter 10, a rich young ruler comes to visit him. In John chapter 19, a religious leader, Nicodemus, comes to him. In Matthew chapter 8, Roman soldiers come to seek him. And then in other places, we find the blind and the lame and the lepers, like in Mark chapter 1. The outcast of society that everyone had pushed away is able to visit the Lord Jesus. In his birth in the lowliest places, in a manger to show us, the doors open to all those that desire to seek him. So the question is, will we seek the Lord? Will we open our doors and allow him in? Will we recognize and come to him as for who he is? Well, notice the story moves on. Not just the publicity for the Lord and the place for the Lord, but now the praise to the Lord. Not only did the angels praise the Lord for the birth of Christ, but so will the shepherds. Notice first their focus on the message. When you get to verse 15, it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Notice, yes, their attention first was on the angelic proclamation. And they saw the bright light and they heard the great voices and they saw the supernatural. There was a recognition that yes, God was up to something. And it drew them to them. I like John chapter 12, when people come to Jesus or come to find him, they simply say, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And so in the hearts of these shepherds, they had the same thought, "I want to see Jesus." And so their attention was on this angelic message, but not just the messengers again, but the message itself, that God has done something. We need to recognize that God wants us to draw close to Him and hear the message. What is that message again? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved us, all of us, and they heard the message. Now notice, they were focused on that, but secondly, notice their fast pace. Verse 16 says, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They came with haste. The New American Standard Bible says it a little differently. It says, and they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the babe as he lay in the manger. That word haste is spudo. I was going to kid Dennis about his speedo and being fast here, but I'm not going to do that right now. Amen. As excited little children, they ran to see the Savior. You know, I love to see those kids pile out of here on during our service when they're having their time in the back, the children's church. Sometimes as many as 75 on a good Sunday, piling out. I can just hear the excitement as they go. I'm reminded of the shepherds as they simply run to see the Savior. It came in haste. To do that, they would have to leave things behind. Their flocks, there's other material things. In the moment, they left it all to go in haste to see this one that would change the world. Two turning points really in their life that should be in ours. When they understood the Lord was seeking them, they left all and followed. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. They understood this one was coming to seek them. But then we are seen or see them seeking the Lord above. And I like that thought because God desires and calls us to seek Him. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Jeremiah really kind of gives a little different glimpse on that and reminds us how we should seek Him. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when you seek with your whole heart. And then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so this morning, as we find ourselves drawing nigh to Christmas, do we seek the Lord with anticipation? Do we run to enter His presence? The Lord reminds us, for whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. And so we're reminded that God desires for us to seek Him. Let all that other stuff that go by the wayside. Seek the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. Not just their focus and their fast pace, but now the forwarding of the good news. They share the good news with others. Verse 17 says, and when they had seen it, they had known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They shared the good news of what they seen. Just as the angels had shared the news with them, so now they share the news with others. The angels were gone, but now they share. And by the way, that word angel in the Greek is angelos. It simply means messenger. It reminds us that we're all called to be the messengers of Christ to share those good news. And so we become a witness, as Jesus told us we should be in Matthew chapter 24, a witness unto the nations. And then in Acts chapter 1, it says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. They recognized the good news and shared it. Why don't we do the same? Why don't we that have seen Christ, that have experienced His love, mercy, grace, and peace, share that? It may be because we don't truly believe. It may be because of a battle. Why not this Christmas make it a point to share the good news? Well, the story for them ends like this, as far as we know. Not just their focus and their fast pace and their forwarding the good news, but their faithful actions. In verse 20, it says this, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as was told unto them. Notice, they returned. They were still shepherds. They still had jobs to do. They still probably had families. They still had everything else to do they've always done. But now, they're living a life a different way. They start living for the Lord. You say, well, how do you know that from this idea? Well, when you read the words glorifying and praising, those are active tenses. In other words, it's not something they did or had done, but something they were doing. It's not something they did one time of year, But they kept on and kept on and kept on glorifying and praising God. And so should we. Their lives changed because the gift that was given them, and not just to them, but all those that came in contact with, and even today, all us, they'd seen the gift of God, and it surely changed them. Let me read one more time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Somebody wrote, a lowly birth in a humble place, a picture of God's loving grace, a Savior born for the mighty and for the small, the greatest news ever given for all. So we go back to Fanny Crosby. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, the sweetest that was ever heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and goodwill on earth. Fasting alone in this desert, tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted and yet triumphed at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore, how he was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he lives again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Yet let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest, that ever was heard. That's the story of Jesus, that God sent his only begotten Son to come in the world to save us, to die for us, to help us so that we may live for him, not just the here and now, but for all eternity. That's the message of Christ, the message of Christmas. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads just for a moment. I believe that God has given an invitation all through the Word of God for people to receive him. John reminds us, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. And so why not let the Christmas story be your story this morning? Why not let the Christmas story impact your life so that your story can be shared with others about the redeeming grace of Christ? It simply starts by hearing the Word of God, believing the Word of God, accepting the Word of God, that Christ came, died, rose again for you. And so this morning, call upon him. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive my sins. Come into life and save me. He surely will. And the Christmas story can be yours. If you're here today as we begin to sing and need to make a proclamation of faith or need to be something different in your life, why not walk forward and say, Brother Paul, I need this, or help me to do this, or pray for me about this. I'm telling you, God is faithful. That's part of the story too. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for all your words in your Bible that give us hope and peace. Bless us now with the Christmas story. Put it in our hearts that we may live for you. Impact us greatly as we impact the world. In Jesus' name, amen.